My first language is Spanish, so when I got a text last week about if I would do the scripture reading, I asked if I could do it in both. So it'll just take a little bit longer, but I'll do English first. So we'll be reading 1 James chapter 19 and chapter 20. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Mis queridos hermanos, tengan presente esto. Todos deben estar listos para escuchar y ser lentos para hablar y para enojarse, pues la ira humana no produce la vida justa que Dios quiere.
Thank you, Andres, for doing the reading in Spanish and English. I recently heard a story about a husband who thought that his wife was becoming hard of hearing. And so he told his doctor about what he was afraid was happening. And he said, "What can I do?" The doctor said, "Why don't you do a test? Why don't you stand about 15 feet away from your wife with her back to you and speak to her and see if she responds?" And so the husband decides he's going to do that. So he goes back home and he gets about 15 feet away from his wife. She's in the kitchen. Her back is towards him. And he speaks to her and says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And no response. So he scoots up a little bit further and again speaks to her, "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response. So he speaks up a little, scoots up a little further, says it again, still no response. So this time he decides to get right behind her. I mean, just 1 foot behind her. Her back is towards him. And he says again, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And this time she whirls around and yells at him, "I'm going to tell you one more time, it's chicken." Apparently it wasn't him or her who was hard of hearing, it was him. You know, sometimes we can think that others struggle in listening when really the one who struggles is us. Last Sunday, I started a two-part series on listening. And we talked about that if we're going to be a church that's a healing presence, we need to be good at listening. And that begins by learning to listen to God. And I challenged the church to take 5 minutes every day to be silent. Did anybody do that? Tried to be silent for 5 minutes? Okay, my family's raising their hands, and I'm proud of them for that. Really, really am. And we talked about how we need to be still and silent before God because then we can listen to God. But there's a second part, that not only do we need to listen to God, but we also need to listen to one another. I've been reading this book by Adam McHugh called The Listening Life. And in the book, he gives signs that you're a bad listener. So I've got a little test for you to take to see if you're a good listener or a bad listener. 4 signs that you're a bad listener. Number 1, you're a one-up listener. This is where you're talking to someone and they're telling you some story about what happened at their Thanksgiving. You say, "Well, that's nothing compared to what happened at my Thanksgiving. Let me tell you about it." That's a one-up listener. That's a sign you're a bad listener. Number 2, the projector listener. This is where you project your own feelings. So this is where someone is sharing something with you, maybe sharing about a struggle or something that they're suffering with, and after they share that with you, you respond by saying, "I feel the same way. I'm struggling with the same thing." So that's where we project our feelings, a sign you're a bad listener. Number 3, password listener. This is where you're listening for a specific word, and when you hear that specific word, you take that word and you go a completely different direction in the conversation. So, for example, someone's telling you about something that happened on their vacation, and then you say, "Oh, you mentioned vacation? Let me tell you about a vacation that happened for me a while back. I really want to tell you about this." That's password listening. And then number 4 is mechanic listening. This is where you listen to someone for a little while, and then at some point you interject and say, "Okay, well, here's what you need to do." And you start to give a list of instructions on what the person needs to do. You're trying to fix the problem. Okay, let's be honest. Did anybody do any of these four things? Does anyone admit to it? Okay, good. I'm not alone, because I need to be honest. I do all four of these things. As my family probably could attest for. I'm not a very good listener often. And maybe one of the reasons why we're not good listeners is because we think that listening is not that big of a deal. It's kind of like table manners. Yeah, we probably ought to have better table manners. Ought to not put our elbows on the table and not talk with our mouths full. But if you do it, it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. And sometimes we think about listening that way. Yeah, I probably should be a little better listener. It probably irritates people when I don't listen to them very well. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big of a deal. Well, here's a message that I want you to hear this morning. When we learn how to listen well, it's a big deal. Listening is a big deal. Because when we learn how to truly listen to people, God actually can use us to be His hands to bring healing and mercy to people in their lives just by listening. And I want to talk about how we can do that. I want to begin in Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 3, the story of Solomon. When Solomon just became king of Israel, and he is in the middle of the night, he's sleeping and has a dream, and God comes to him in the middle of the night and says, Solomon, ask for whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon could have asked for wealth, he could have asked for power, he could have asked for victory over his opponents, but Solomon doesn't ask for that. He asks for wisdom. Now, when I was a kid and I heard this story in Sunday school, I just assumed that at this point, God downloaded into Solomon's brain all this content. And all of a sudden, he now knows how to do calculus. He knows how to speak foreign languages. He just knows all of this stuff because God has given him wisdom. But actually, in the text, that's not what it says. In 1 Kings 3, verse 9, this is what Solomon prays. He says, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. A discerning heart. Some versions have a heart of understanding. The words in Hebrew are lev shema. Lev shema. The word in Hebrew, lev, it means heart. And shema. Shema. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Shema. Hear. Listen. It's the verb to listen. Solomon is asking God, can you give me a listening heart? Solomon wants to be able to listen. He wants to be able to listen and discern and distinguish between what is right and wrong, because that is what wisdom truly is. In fact, if you flip over to the book of Proverbs, which many of the Proverbs are attributed to Solomon, that in the book of Proverbs, as I've mentioned to you before, there's two ways of living. There's the way of wisdom and the way of foolishness. The way of wisdom brings life. The way of foolishness brings death. In Proverbs, a critical value in living a life of wisdom is learning how to think before you speak. So look at Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. So a fool doesn't want to listen. A fool just wants to talk about whatever he wants to talk about. Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous waits its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Fools gush. They just gush from their mouth, whereas the wise reflect. Proverbs 18, verse 13. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. And so we see in wisdom literature is that if you truly are going to be wise, that a key part of wisdom is learning to not just say whatever comes to our mind, but pausing, reflecting, and listening. And that's what we see in the life of Jesus. Maybe particularly in the story in John chapter 4, where Jesus meets a Samaritan woman. Jesus is in Samaria. There's a woman who comes to the well to draw water. The disciples go on into town, so Jesus is by himself, and so he engages the Samaritan woman. And it's this incredible conversation where the Samaritan woman reveals about things going on in her life. Jesus reveals to her that he's the Messiah, and he invites her to have living water. It's this great moment. Have you ever noticed how well Jesus listens in this story? That the woman says four times as many words as Jesus does in the story. That this is not a conversation where Jesus is trying to manipulate and he's trying to control, he's trying to get his point across. This is a conversation where Jesus listens first. He listens first. And then as he hears what the woman is saying, he waits for the right time to say the right words that pierce her soul. That the key that unlocked the Samaritan woman's heart was the key of listening. And that's what Jesus did here. And then we flip over to James, what Andres read to us. The book of James says more about communication than any other book in the New Testament. It says a whole lot about the mouth and the tongue and how harmful it can be. But do you know that the very first thing that James says about communication, before we talk about speaking and about your tongue and about what you're supposed to say, let's start with this: be quick to listen. Let's start there. And so we see from Solomon to the wisdom literature, to the life of Jesus, to the book of James, the rest of the New Testament, that through the whole Bible, there's a critical value, a critical characteristic of God's people, and that is that we are to listen to others. That if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, that a critical part of that is learning how to listen well. Why? Why is listening so important as a follower of Christ? Well, I'm going to say a little controversial statement here. I think one of the reasons why listening is so important is because when we talk a lot in a conversation, that is an act of selfishness. Steve, hang on a second. If you're going to have a conversation, you're going to have communication, someone's got to be able to talk. I mean, that's the way communication works. And so what's wrong with that? Okay, there's nothing wrong with talking. That is the way we communicate. But sometimes we can let that go a little bit too far. And when we let it go a little too far, that's actually an act of selfishness. When we're trying to control a conversation, when we're trying to make the conversation be what we want it to be, when we talk about the things that we want to talk about, that's actually being selfish. But when we pause and we reflect and we say, I'm not going to just try to dominate this conversation, I'm going to try to listen. I'm actually becoming like Jesus. You can be like Jesus by feeding the hungry. You can be like Jesus by ministering to the afflicted. You can be like Jesus by helping those that are vulnerable. You can also be like Jesus by listening. By listening. I like the way one writer put it. He said, listening imitates the self-emptying act of Jesus, who voluntarily released his claims on ruling in order to serve and give his life. But the problem is that often as Christians, we struggle at this. I want to read a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He said that many people are looking for an ear that will listen, but they don't find it among Christians because Christians are talking when they should be listening. Why is that? Why are we talking when we should be listening? I think maybe one of the reasons is that Christians often think that we have the answers. That if someone comes to us with a problem, we know the solution. Someone's dealing with the sin, we know a scripture to quote. If someone's suffering in some way, we know the cliche to say. And so when someone's coming to us really looking for listening, we're ready to come and solve the problem, and so we're talking. I think another reason why it's hard for Christians to listen is because, what I talked about last week, it's hard for us to slow down. And we get busy, and we get moving, and we get doing all these sorts of things. And hurry and listening do not go together. If you're going to listen in a conversation, you're going to have to slow things down. And so if we're going to follow Christ in learning how to listen, we've got to realize that we can't fix everyone's problems, and we've got to be willing to slow down in order to listen. One of our ministers here at Southside, Chris Jeter, felt convicted about those two things a couple of years ago. And so he decided that he would start going to strategic places on college campuses and hold up a sign that said, "I will listen." And he always had some really interesting reactions to that sign. I remember one time he was told to leave the campus that he was on because apparently that campus didn't want people listening at there on their campus. So, but then one time, as he held up that sign, there was a student that came to him, and the student began to share something with him. The student was a business major, and the student said, "I'm stressed out about being a business major because I'm doing this because this is what my parents want me to do, and what I really want to do is I want to be a music major, but I don't know if I should change because I don't know how that's going to affect my parents, and then can I really have a career if I'm a music major?" And he was just sharing all this with Chris, and Chris was telling me that, and my response was, "Well, what'd you tell him?" "What'd you tell him?" Chris said, "I didn't say anything. I just listened." "What?" "I just listened." And God, through Chris in that moment, brought healing to that student through listening. Why do we have hospice chaplains? I mean, what can a hospice chaplain do? When someone is in hospice, medically they are being prepared for the end of their life. What does a chaplain do? Can't pray that they get better. Can't fix their problem. What can a hospice chaplain do? They can listen. They can listen. And God can use them through their listening to bring peace and mercy to that person. I really like the way Keith Miller describes the powerful act of listening. He said, "When we listen deeply and carefully and lovingly to another person, it is as if we have put a gentle finger into the rim of the soul of the other, as into a precious cup, and we feel along the rim until we come to a broken place, which may be the entry point for the words of grace." So, Steve, why do I need to care about listening? Why is this important? Because sometimes when you listen well to someone else, you are putting your hand on their soul. So, Steve, how do I do that? Well, let me use a metaphor to help us understand how to listen better. I'm going to use the metaphor of ping pong. We have a ping pong table at our house. Let's use ping pong. Normally in a conversation, we play ping pong. I say something, I hit the ball. You say something, you hit the ball back to me. And then I hit it back to you, and you hit it back to me. Sometimes I serve, sometimes you serve, but that's the way a conversation goes. We hit the ping pong ball back and forth. And I didn't come up with this metaphor, but I think it's really helpful. But a good listener, at some point in the conversation, is not going to hit the ball back, but is going to grab it. It's going to grab that ball, and it's going to look at it. It's going to reflect on it. It's going to discuss it. It's going to ask questions about it, and then lovingly toss the ball back to the person. Now, a bad listener is just always hitting the ball back, sometimes even spiking the ball back. But a good listener will grab the ball. How does that work? Well, the easiest way to grab the ball is to offer this phrase. And if you don't take anything away from my sermon, take this phrase. It's the phrase, "Hey, can you tell me more about that? Can you tell me more about that?" So tomorrow morning, you're going to go to work, or you're going to go to school, and you're going to see your friends, you're going to see your coworkers, and you're going to be asked, or you're going to ask the inevitable question, "How was your Thanksgiving?" You're going to hit the ping pong ball. And then your friend or your coworker is going to hit it back to you. But let's just say that your friend answers that question by saying, "Well, actually, it was pretty crummy." What are you going to do? Well, if you're a bad listener, you're just going to hit that ping pong ball back to them. You're going to say, "Oh, that's too bad. What are we doing today at work?" But if you're a good listener, you'll grab a hold of that ping pong ball. You'll say, "Wow, Can you tell me more about that? And so then they'll start to tell you a little more if they want. They might not want to, but they may begin to tell you more. They'll say, well, my grandparents came in and they were trying to be really cautious, and my kids were upset because people were being cautious. And so I just got depressed and I was sad, and it all was just really stressful, the whole thing. Wow, that must have been hard. Tell me more. You see what's happening? Your hand is starting to touch their soul. Someone has said that if you can tell someone, tell me more, three times in a conversation, tell me more about that, three times in a conversation, after three times, your hands will be on their soul and you will be listening to them. I've read that if we can learn how to simply be good listeners, empathetic listeners who validate the emotions of other people, that 80 to 85% of the reasons why people go to a Christian counselor would be done if we would just learn how to listen. Because what people need, what most people need, is not someone to fix their problems, not someone to tell them what to do. What most people need is they need someone to grab that ping pong ball and sit with them in the mess that they're going through and just listen to them. And when that happens, when someone does that for them, it's as if the very hands and grace of God comes to their soul because someone heard them and someone noticed them and someone loved them. And we can be that for people. God is going to place people in your life this week and they're going to speak to you. They're going to lob that ping pong ball in your direction and you're going to have a choice. Do I be like Jesus and grab it and sit with them? Do I just hit it back? And if we're going to be a healing presence, we need to be willing to grab that ping pong ball, to come alongside of those near us and listen. I want you to think about right now the people in your life, the people in your life who really love you and who you know love you. You know they care for you, and you know they're behind you, and you know that they're your biggest fans. I want you to think about those people right now. Most likely, the reason why you know that those people love you and care for you is because you know those people listen to me. They listen to me. The problem in this world is not that there are peoples whose voices aren't being able to be spoken. The problem in this world is that there's people whose voices aren't being heard. They need someone to listen to them, but they don't have anyone. And we can be those people. We can offer a healing presence simply by truly listening to those around us. I'm going to close with a prayer that has been attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. And I believe that this prayer really captures the calling that we have as Christians who listen. I want you to say this prayer with me. If you're at home watching, go ahead and say it there. And let's all say it here in the auditorium. Say these words with me. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we confess right now that too often we are self-dominated and we're in a hurry and we're focused on our things to where we don't listen to those around us. And Lord, I pray that this week we will not be so much focused on trying to be understood as instead we will try to focus on trying to understand. Lord, like Solomon, we pray, give us a listening heart, a discerning heart, a heart that reflects, a heart that understands, a heart that's willing to grab that ping pong ball and sit with someone and listen to them. And we pray that through all of this, you would use us to show mercy and to be a healing presence. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we all say together, amen. And I want all of you to know that are here and that are watching online, if there is something on your heart that you're going through or that you're struggling with, there are elders and ministers here who are ready to listen to you and are ready to care for you and minister to you. And you can go to sscfc.org/prayer, and you can let us know what you're going through, or you can come up to the front during this song, and we'll pray with you, we'll encourage you, we'll listen to you. Or if you're ready to be baptized into Christ, you can let us know that as well. If we can encourage you this morning, please come now as together we stand and sing.